Money Isn't Green. This is the Ericast for the week of March 12, 2006.
From Ericast.com.
Ericast.com.
Welcome to the Ericast.
Well, once again, or perhaps for the first time ever, you have found the Ericast, and I am your host, Eric Larson. Thank you very, very much for downloading and listening to this very special episode of the Ericast, as is every episode of the Ericast, because they're kind of handcrafted, you know, one episode at a time. So, before I say anything else, as is my tradition here on the Ericast, I would like to say we'd love to hear from you, because this is a participative sort of thing. You know, it's kind of that Web 2.0 spirit that is podcasting. Comes to mind because I was talking about Web 2.0 today. So we'd love to hear from you. There is a listener feedback line, so also part of the audio nature of podcasting, kind of that auditory spirit. You can call in, area code 206-339-ERIC, which is 206-339-3742, or you could spell it out letter by letter, at which point it's 206-339-ERIC. So that kind of covers all your bases there. You can phone that number. You'll hear my pleasant sounding voice, the melodious tones of my voice greeting you when you call that number, and then you just leave a message and I play it on the air, like the message from Vic that we're going to hear momentarily. Or you can send me an email. That's Eric, E-R-I-C, at ericast.com, E-R-I-C-A-S-T.com. Or if you want a fancy hybrid of those two, say for instance that you want to leave some sort of auditory type comment, but you're too cheap to actually use your cell phone minutes to call all the way to Seattle and leave it on our listener feedback line, you could email me an MP3 to that same address, eric@ericast.com, and hopefully it would make it there. If it doesn't make it there, that actual email address goes to a Gmail account, so it's ericast.com@gmail.com. So you could email it straight there, but I don't want to confuse you. I just want to leave that as some options in case you're really trying to get a hold of me but haven't liked the methods that I've been giving you now for more than a year. And in fact, speaking of more than a year, let's hear from Vic and his greetings and comments on our celebration of having survived or enjoyed or, yeah, celebrated. We've already celebrated, engaged in, experienced, had, that's the word, having had a full year of the Ericast.
Hey, Eric, this is Vic. I'm just calling to welcome you to the second year of the Ericast and wanted to wish you a congratulations. Way to go, way to go, way to go. I have enjoyed the show every week, and I might be one of the few, or I hope one of the many who have heard every Ericast episode that's been released, actually. So, again, thanks for your words of wisdom, your entertainment, the music, as you know, I like. And then I just want to make a comment about your last Ericast about MySpace. I've been, as you know, where I work as a career development advisor, I've been talking to students about MySpace, websites such as MySpace and Friendster, and also at universities there's a site called Facebook, and you might be familiar with that. And about students managing their perceptions as they are job seeking, and that potential employers might be Googling them or checking those sites as far as getting additional information about the applicant. So I talk to students and say, hey, if you're going to put some information out there, this is to include blogs, by the way, very racy information or politically aligned, just be aware of what your potential employers are going to view, because obviously you want to get the job, and then after you get secure the job and they get to know you a little bit, then perhaps you may put that stuff back up. But anyway, thank you so much for the Ericast. Again, it's a wonderful way to keep in touch with you, my good friend. And I hope to talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Vic, for the extremely kind words. I appreciate that. We all like hearing good things. So I'm glad you're happy with the Ericast. In fact, just for you, listen all the way to the end. I'm putting a song back in. It's a return to a tradition. That's kind of another theme for this week's Ericast. Late, I know, but that's beside the point. It's late because I've been thinking up all the traditions I have to return to. So there's a song coming, among other things. But anyway, yeah, the MySpace stuff, and you know, watch out what you put there and that kind of thing. What I've found amazing, this doesn't happen that often, but if you dig around on my personal website, I've got like old pages that used to be a mandate at work, you know, when we were in it. Well, it carried over to when I was in management, or it predated when I was in management, where we were supposed to put up a professional page of, you know, what we do and that kind of thing. And then, you know, our official department site was going to link to those pages. And so when I was in management, I carried on that tradition and said, okay, well, blah, blah, blah. And here's who's on my team. Here's who's out there. And those, if you dig hard enough, are kicking around someplace on my site. And I occasionally see Google searches for people that years ago I used to manage. Joanne, you don't have to worry, because it doesn't happen that often. And it's just weird. It's kind of weird to think, because, I mean, some of these names are unique. So you know that's who they're looking for. I'm like, why are you doing a search for that person? I don't know. And they're not going to find anything useful on my site. I mean, yeah, so-and-so worked for me from this date to this date. They supported these departments. Woo, you know. But it's just kind of weird that people are out there searching for you. So be careful what you put on MySpace, because, you know, or what you blog about or anything like that. You know, as an aside, actually, we were talking about that up at work, that in the midst of some conversation that's been going on, mainly through email threads and that sort of thing, somebody said, well, you know, gee, what if people were blogging all of this? And that is an interesting thing about blogs, is, you know, in the heat of the moment, you can put something out there and poof, off it goes, and it's out there for all the world to consume, you know? And you got to be, you know, there's an advantage because you said it. So, you know, unlike, you know, you kind of piggybacking your comments on something else and kind of being, you know, lumped in, good, bad, or indifferent with something else, you can say, hey, that's my blog. I said that. I take responsibility. I was commenting on that when I blogged my opinion of Pat Robertson when he called for the assassination of the president of Venezuela, and then a few hours later said, oh, I never called for the assassination of the president of Venezuela. No. I shared my opinion on that, and I stand by my opinion on that. But if I'd said something more controversial, because my comments about Pat Robertson were pretty much common sense at that time and probably still hold true today, but if I'd said something more controversial, that could have been a problem. People could say, oh, wow, he's saying something, I don't know, controversial. Yeah, so that is an issue if you're out there trying to get a job that you don't want to have, as Vic described, this, you know, perhaps not terribly professional stuff out there. I don't know. So thank you, Vic, and to the rest of you, hey, call in with other comments like that. See, it's good stuff, pretty easy. Vic shows you it's easy, painless. I will thank you and say good things about what you say. So 206-339-ERIC. Now, I had hinted moments ago at the fact that this was a return to traditions. And what better tradition to return to here at the ERICast than
the word of the week. The word of the week. The word of the week.
Bing! That's right. Thanks again to Daniel Hook for the work on that sweeper, and to our friend Thomas Gagnon for the nice little ping sound at the end. It is the word of the week, which has been absent from the ERICast for, oh, so many months, because there really wasn't a good word. A good word didn't come up. But as I was waiting for inspiration this week to strike before recording this episode of the ERICast, I was doing some research with my daughter. I'll explain the source momentarily. And I came up with this week's word of the week, which is
apricot.
That's right, apricot. Or, as some people pronounce it,
apricot.
Now, I'm not an apricot person. I'm an apricot person. So when I think apricot, I think
apricot.
But for some people, I would call them misguided, but I don't know them well enough to know really what their true heart attitude is. But some people think of the exact same fruit as
apricot.
An apricot. And I don't. So there's today's controversy. How did I find out about this? Well, believe it or not, while watching a Sesame Street episode and learning about the letter of the day, and yes, indeed, my daughter was part of this. I mean, it wasn't just me watching. She was there, too. Okay, fine. Learning about the letter of the day, A, we found that Prairie Dawn and Cookie Monster put this A concept, the abstract A, into practical application. Abstract application of A. And, appropriately, apricot or apricot. So, here's what they had to say. I'm violating all sorts of copyright rules by throwing this in, but Sesame Street, they're good people. Yay to Children Television Workshop, or whatever they're called now. They're probably not called Children Television. They renamed themselves. I think it's Sesame Street Workshop now, isn't it? So thank you for not suing me in advance. I'm going to play this clip. I will warn you, this is not work safe because it is the boisterous, rowdy Muppet attitude in its full attitudeness, the A apricot appropriate attitude thing. So it's not work safe, but it definitely is child safe. And with that, let's send it over to our correspondent in the field.
Hello, Prairie Dawn here, and it is time for the letter of the day. And today's letter is the letter A, and it is the first letter of the alphabet.
Cookie!
What?
Yeah.
Oh, cookie! Cookie Monster! No, Cookie Monster! This is not a cookie. It is the letter of the day.
That not cookie.
No. Oh. It is the letter A. Well, look. See, it doesn't even look like a cookie.
Me no care. Me hungry.
What? No, Cookie Monster! You cannot eat the letter of the day.
Oh, me can't help myself. Me so hungry.
No. Cookie, control yourself, Cookie Monster. Quick. Think of some words that start with the letter A.
Ah, distract myself.
Yeah.
That good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, a letter A. Mm-hmm. Me take a letter A word. Apricot. Yeah, like apricot cookie. Yeah.
Yes, very good.
Nom.
Oh, hey, did you know that some people say apricot? I say apricot.
Apricot. Let's call the whole thing off. Excuse me.
Cookie Monster! You're aggravating!
Oh man, you know this podcasting thing's kind of fun. This is good stuff. So there you go, the apricot controversy. If you have any other suggestions for word of the week, let me know what they are. Remember the rules: it has to be a word that has two legitimate pronunciations. So the apricot example is a perfect one. That's the kind of thing we're looking for here at the Ericast. Yeah. Okay. Now to the actual topic of this episode, because I was just shocked, not appalled. But shocked. I was appalled, too. Another A word. Appalled. Shocked and appalled when I went to the cash machine and I got my little typical little $20 bills that came out. And at work, we have a cash machine that can give you $10 bills as well. It's kind of nice. So you can get 30 or 50 bucks instead of just like, you know, 20, 40, or 60. So I got a $10 bill. And my first thought is that I got some $10 bill from England or, you know, some little German Deutschmark or something. Because our money, people, hello, our money is no longer green. Now, Ruth insists that it actually is green and the ink is green and stuff. But go to the show notes. Where are they? Well, in addition to the fact that you can go to Ericast.com and look at them and stuff. I'm doing the delicious tag thing again, though nobody has told me whether that's good, bad, or indifferent. So my delicious tags are under E.M. Larson. Pretty easy. E.M. Larson. And then just look for Ericast in that. And you will see a link. Now, of course, you can do this just by going to the Wikipedia. So don't bother about my show notes and things. Just go to the Wikipedia and do a little search for $10 bill. And there's a nice big picture of our $10 bill. I was going to say that our $10 bill is peach-colored. Actually, it's more apricot-colored. Ah, you see? Yeah. Now, this picture does not do justice to the apricot tones of our $10 bill. Excuse me. Nothing like throwing a sneeze into the podcast. This, our $10 bills, people, are not green anymore. They're peach. We have peach-colored money. which is fine for some of those frou-frou European countries. That's okay. If they want to have peach or light blue or pink bills, that's fine. But this is America, and our greenbacks are green. Not anymore. I am beside myself, which is a bad state to be in when you're trying to do a podcast, because, you know, whatever. Is there any description on, well, here's the official, okay, here's the official Wikipedia definition, which could change by the time you read it, because that's the nation of the Wikipedia, but the Wikipedia as of right now describes the fact that the newest $10 bill entered circulation on March 2nd, 2006, so this is almost breaking news. In addition to design changes introduced in 2000, the obverse features red background images of the Statue of Liberty's torch, the phrase "We the People" from the United States Constitution, a smaller metallic representation of the Statue of Liberty's torch, orange and yellow background color. Now, okay, as an aside, you combine orange and yellow, you get peach or apricot. So it's not orange and yellow, it's a peach-colored bill. Orange and yellow background color, a borderless print of Hamilton, and to the left of Hamilton, small yellow tens, whose zeros form the Urian constellation. I have no idea what that is. We'll find out momentarily. The reverse features small yellow Urian tens and have the fine lines removed from around the vignette of the United States Treasury. What is a Urian constellation? A number of recent banknote designs contain a pattern known as the Urian constellation. This is spelled E-U-R-I-O-N, by the way, constellation. It is added to help software detect the presence of a banknote in a digital image. Such software can then block the user from reproducing banknotes to prevent counterfeiting using color photocopiers. The name was coined by Marcus Kuhn, who discovered the pattern in early 2002 while experimenting with a Xerox color photocopier that refuses to reproduce banknotes. This is really interesting. And in fact, I'm going to add this to the show notes right away. We'll post this to Delicious and plug in Ericast. So just look for that Ericast tag in Delicious and you'll find this information as well. So point being, and I am all in favor of not counterfeiting. I'm all in favor of, well, I guess that really is the only reason that you changed the bill. Well, no, there are some of the initial changes were made for readability. Because if you're visually impaired, it's kind of difficult to differentiate our banknotes. Which, by the way, I'm telling you, if I were conspiracy oriented, I would add some spooky background music or something. But I'll tell you what's coming. They're going to start changing the size of banknotes. Just mark my words, because it's kind of dumb, once again, if you're visually impaired. Though, frankly, if it's all about counterfeiting, then they really won't care about changing the size. But to have everything the same size, you know, your 1s, 5s, 10s, 20s, 50s, and 100s, are all the exact same size. So that's kind of odd, you know, that if you reach into your pocket and pull out a bill and it, you know, maybe I'm handing you a 1, maybe I'm handing you $100, who knows? That's sort of bad. So that could be coming next, is different size bills. But anyway, not green. Money is not green. And it's really shocking. I am serious. I'm not this freaked out. I've got to say that because someday a future employer might come across a podcast and think I'm emotionally unstable. Don't worry. But I am serious that when you look at, you know, a pile of money or even two bills, because I think I pulled $30 out of the ATM, these suckers stand out. And it is weird to say, okay, I'm trusting that's an American $10 bill, but boy, does it not look it. So there you go. There's your news tidbit from the Ericast. And do check it out. The photos on the Wikipedia do not do it justice. You got to see one of these things in person. Your bank could probably help you out with that. If you really were desperate, just go to them at a peaceful off time, you know, not during lunch, not, you know, in some big, you know, rush over a weekend when everyone's there, but just, you know, if you're killing time some afternoon, just pop into your local bank and say, I know this sounds crazy, but can I see one of the new $10 bills? And, oh, shocking. Very, very shocking. So, that's it for your news update for the Ericast and for basically the content of this show. That pretty much does cover it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to close this out with a song from Tim Lemons, one of the the PodSafe music things that I have, not because he's part of a PodSafe network, but because he's a really cool guy who lives in the Twin Cities metropolitan area, actually a little bit outside of it, I believe. And you send him an email and say, Tim, can I use you in a podcast? And he says, yes, that's the kind of PodSafe music for me. So I'm going to play a song that I just have always really liked. It doesn't have any particularly relevant message for this week's Ericast. It's not his song, I Hate $10 Bills. No, it's not that song. It's a different one. No, Tim does not have that song, don't worry. But I will comment on two things. One, I will read his explanation. Two, I will first say, also available in the delicious tags here, is a reference to the catalpa tree. You will hear a line in the song, and I'm just mentioning it to you because it's so odd when you hear it. I'm like, what? That sticks out like a pink $10 bill. What is that statement? So when you hear, riding the tire swing beneath the catalpa. Well, according to the National Arbor Day Foundation, the catalpa is an excellent tree where fast growth is desired, striking flowers that appear in early summer. Catalpas can withstand city conditions while adding interest to landscapes. Should not be planted where fruit and flowers can drop on sidewalks as they are slippery after they fall for a short period of time. Large, snowy white flowers grace the catalpa in late spring. Its crown is rounded and upright with large, heart-shaped, medium green leaves, withstands wet, dry, alkaline soils and hot, dry environments, sun or partial shade. Grows to 40 to 60 feet with a 30-foot spread. The flowers of the catalpa are visited by hummingbirds. The catalpa tree is found in forests from southern Illinois and Indiana to western Tennessee and Arkansas. I wonder where Tim is from then. That's kind of interesting. I should find that out. First cultivated in 1754, the wood was used for fence posts and railroad ties because of its resistance to rot, coupled with the fast growth rate of the tree. In the south, catalpa trees are traditional sources of fish bait. Catalpa worms, the larvae of the catalpa sphinx moths, are eagerly sought in the early summer by anglers. They also mention that leaves of the catalpa are distinctive. Their heart shape and giant size of up to 12 inches long make them a favorite with children. The fruit description says that the fruit is elongated cigar-shaped fruit 12 inches long, a favorite of children's play and imagination. I'm sure that's at least as much, if not perhaps more, than you ever wanted to know about the catalpa tree. But heads up that when you hear that line in the Tim Lemon song that you, trust me, will hear eventually here on the Ericast, that's what he's talking about. Also, this is the only song on the, I'm reading the entire liner notes of Tim's Virtual Spiritual album here. Excuse me. This is the only song that has a note to it, which is really kind of touching and also sort of, you know, interesting. And it's just straight up Tim. Hey, this is, it's kind of, you know, here you go. So he does say, I wrote this song shortly after the death of my father in 2001. It is a conversation with God where I'm processing this great loss. There's a bridge in the latter half of the song where I'm reflecting on childhood memories with my dad, and I'm addressing him only at that point in the song. Throughout the rest of the song, God is the object. I just wanted to clarify that because I know it's a little confusing. Literally, that is what Tim has in his liner notes. So now you know. I'm still confused by the song, but I'm not a lyrics person. So I just think the song's pretty. And I think it says some good stuff. I mean, it's not like, you know, vapid and stupid. It's just that, you know me, I'm more of a melody kind of guy. So with that, I will close this episode of the Ericast. Then I'll play Tim's song. So if you don't want to hear the song, despite this lovely build-up to it, you can just stop right after you hear Matt and Joanne bid you farewell. So I'll let them do that. And until next week, take care.
Thanks for listening to the Ericast from Ericast.com.
Visit us at www.ericast.com.
Bless the day that you came down from heaven. God bless the day that you entered my soul. I turned around and looked back on the journey and saw your wonders of mercy and love unfold. Thank you. circus of our need to understand. No net beneath these strings, no holding on to things, only little children searching for their wings. A human of a dreams. Do you remember? Yeah, yeah. Jumping off a swings. Kid with my head in the clouds, thinking of heaven and dreaming of flying. A little scared, but I'm learning to trust.